Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is also, funny enough, this is Pope Francis's problem.
It is.
Because the Dignitas Infinitum.
About kissing people.
Right. Ridiculous. Which is not wrong. I mean, I'd write a book about kissing people if it was a book about my wife. But, but I think if we just were able to do a brand consultation with the Vatican, we'd be able to put him on the right path, because he released the Infinite Dignity document, and it's all good, right? It's all about how people have infinite dignity, but they can't do things that betray that infinite dignity. And everyone's like, the response to it has been muted compared to some other documents, because there's been such a reputation over time of Pope Francis releasing things that are maybe a little bit more on the line, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's funny to think that it's me and PF have a lot of the same problems, I think. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that when you drop an anvil on our head, we turn into like an accordion.
Mm-hmm.
It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. The Crunch is a podcast where Ethan and I, who have been buddies for about 6-7 years now, have a quick conversation about a topic of the faith, and we also mostly goof off. We think that more people should have conversations like this, and so we're glad that you're here. Thanks for joining us. Ethan.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I've had an interesting 24 hours.
Yeah. Your boy was sick.
My boy has been sick. The child. 16 months old, male, Caucasian, and he had a fever, and today he's finally doing better. But yesterday, he was so tired. All he wanted to do was just like lay on either my shoulder or Emma's shoulder, and he just was sad, and he was just like this. And I was holding him, was trying to put him down for a second nap, which he never takes, but he just was so tired. And I'm holding him. And we have this thing where sometimes I call him, his name's Peter, but sometimes I call him Bobo because I think it's a funny name to call a child. And recently he's been repeating it back to me, and he thinks it's really fun to say Bobo.
Yeah.
And so he was like falling asleep in my arms, and I just whispered to him, I whispered, Bobo. And he wakes up, he looks at me, he goes, Bobo. And then he like fell back asleep. It was adorable, and I cried for like 5 minutes because it was just overwhelming. Like, I love this child so much, and he's so sick, good. But he still says, he does a little joke together, you know? So that was, really nice.
Yeah. He's committed to the bit.
I know. It's like, it's just so cool to be like when you're dying and you're sick, to the ability to like make a quip, you know, is so important. Yeah.
It's an important skill to learn. He's going to go far.
Yeah.
You can monetize the skill of humor. We've talked about this. If any of you want to start a podcast and promote it on social media, you should talk to our guy here.
Oh boy,
he's very good at that sort of thing.
That's true. It'll cost you a pretty penny, except maybe what we could do is you could give the money to a charity of your choosing, and I will help you, and then maybe after a while I'll just say, what if you paid me instead? And then I would have customers, and I could build a service-based business that way.
Yes, this is good. Never been tried.
Never been tried. Only by one man. We can talk about that another time.
We don't need to talk about that now. But I'm saying, my guy here is very funny.
Thank you.
And it makes sense that trait has been passed down to your progeny.
Yes. Also, we talked to our neighbors, not the ones that live right next to us that we moved here intentionally with, but the
cops.
No, not the cops. The black house. You remember when you lived here down the way. Mm-hmm. And they came over because their kids came over. And this was really funny. They have like a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I just put all this landscaping in my backyard. Like, I made this rock pit that's a fire pit, mm-hmm. and I did this path. And they came over. They came over and they were like trying to play with Peter. And then before I knew it, they just like had taken our little toy wheelbarrow and our shovel and were just scooping our rocks into the wheelbarrow. And they were like, can we do this? And I was like, I mean, if you put it all back. And they just started, they were running around and I could see Emma just like slowly getting more and more stressed out because they weren't just scooping rocks. They were also like, they were coming over. What's this? What is this called? Where'd you get this? Is this your house? Where do you live? Like, it was really funny. Yeah. And but the parents came over. We got to talk to them. I got to. I felt like an adult for like the first time, because I live next to I live next to people that are just my age that I've known for a long time, whose kids are yeah. you know, my godchildren and stuff like this. And then these people come over and they're like in their late 30s, early 40s, yeah. And we're like talking about the city government, you know, and like the police chief. And I'm like, what is happening to me? I'm like making small talk with my neighbors about the government.
It is funny when you have just kids with people your age. It doesn't feel like you've grown up. It feels right. like, oh yeah, me and this all of my boys have yeah. babies now.
Right.
And
right.
then you start talking to an adult, like a real adult, 401k,
yeah.
who has a real job, who has like, you know, a kid your age and also teenagers. And you're right. like, it was not so long ago that I was one of those. And then you go, actually, it was a really long time ago.
Yeah. It's like, crazy. Wow. It's weird to go from, talking to my neighbor who's like my boy, we're drinking beer together, whatever, to like this guy who comes over wearing like loafers and slacks. And I'm like, you're just in a different kind of area. Different
stage of your life. Yeah.
You own a boat, you know, like that's,
yeah.
What's going on? But it was really nice. I felt I'm a member of my community, you know. I'm a known quantity on the street that I live on.
Yeah.
So it's because like the people who just moved in across the street, they came over, they asked me for an extension cord. I gave them an extension cord. You know, it's like I'm dishing out favors to people. You know,
I'm keeping a catalog so I can call my debts.
No.
Just kidding. That's not how that works.
That is not how that works at all. But it's kind of fun, to be in a little neighborhood that's growing.
I will say our neighborhood, despite being an apartment, despite living in a pod, our neighborhood is pretty great. I would say mm-hmm. it's in spite of the organization of the compound is very much conducive to you drive here, you park here, you go to your pod, and then you leave in the morning to go to work. And there's like a playground and a dog park next to each other, which, by the way, bad. I understand why.
Yeah.
But don't put a dog park and a playground next to each other.
Why? Because
dogs and kids, strange dogs.
They pee on each other all
the
time.
They pee on each other. They both like to dig, but they shouldn't do it together. You know, mm-hmm. like it's a little tough, you know, yeah. but regardless. But in spite of the fact that it's mostly made for single childless adults, this apartment complex, mm-hmm. the kids have managed to make it like their kingdom, to the point where people drive very, very slowly because it's likely a kid is going to run through the street. And that's a great. Good place to live.
Yeah.
That's a good place to live. And they all love Leo. They mm-hmm. know him. All the adults know my son's name.
Yeah.
It's Leo's great.
He's given out extension cords to the local dads who need who need help.
No, it's more like Leo's riding his little toddle bike and all of the girls in the neighborhood follow him around. Oh. He follows them around and then wow. they follow him. It's very cute. But then I'm in this situation where I have to watch my son because he's two, and it's me and this kid, and I'm surrounded by all these little children that aren't mine.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I want to go talk to the adults. That's the problem with the apartment, is that it's not like a closed in backyard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Speaking of dogs, one of the things that we were talking about was the prevalence of coyotes in our, the forest behind our house. And this guy was telling a story about how it must have been him or someone else, but he was like walking his dog. And there were like 10 coyotes that emerged. And this is when he lived somewhere else. I'm pretty sure this wasn't here, but there were a bunch of coyotes that emerged and like attacked this dog. And the dog was like a tiny little friggin' like a rat dog, you know?
So the dog died. Is that what happened?
Well, I think they were able to chase off the coyotes, and I just looked at him. I said, I would have let them eat the dog. Like, I am not going to risk getting rabies from a wild coyote for a dog that I can get a new one at the store. That dog's going to be dead in 5 years anyway. Like, I can go, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
My kids won't even notice the difference.
Exactly. I did see, this was on a Cody Ko video, but someone posted a confession, you know, on the Off My Chest subreddit. Mm-hmm. And it was like, my wife was out of town and I replaced her cat with an identical cat and she has no idea. And honestly, I'm like, that's the right thing to do. The cat was like scratching and like just a horrible cat. And he just went to the pet store. This is the thing about animals. You can just buy new ones. You know,
there's too many cats.
Right. And so he found an identical cat that was better trained, drove to the next town over, donated the, or what, I don't know how you get rid of a cat, but like you give it to the shelter or whatever. Is that a tax write-off?
I don't think so. You do execute it functionally. It's, you bring it to
a
shelter.
It was a no-kill shelter.
Oh, sure.
You don't believe it?
No, of course not. What are they going to do with the cats?
Yeah.
Come on.
We had a horse that was dumped back there in the, so.
Have you seen the cat barrels?
The cat barrels?
Oil barrels full of cats. That's a reduce, reuse, recycle use for oil drums is the shelters put dead cats in them.
Do the cats then get converted into oil?
Mm-mm, the cats are not then converted to oil. I think they're just put into a landfill. But you know how cats kind of like when they're alive, even they're very liquid. They can kind of fit whatever
they do.
So
yeah.
It's very easy to store them en masse in a barrel.
Yeah.
And then I'm sorry, this might be upsetting for some viewers, but that is how they get rid of them in pounds.
Yeah. To anybody who's like super attached to, this is all kind of sparked by a tweet that I saw this morning. It's like my whole perspective on pets was changed when I had a child.
And oh, yeah.
I do think there is definitely a stark difference in like the, how people feel about their pets before children and after children. So before children, this is like the only small thing that you have to take care of.
And it's cute.
And then after children, it's like you have all of a sudden a much more important small thing to take care of. And you just like forget about the animal. You're just like, he'll get dinner
this
somehow.
This very needy Pomeranian is not as cute.
Yeah, this creature that barks when my child is sleeping. Now all of a sudden, the no-kill shelter looks like a lot better of an option.
Absolutely.
Because the dog keeps waking up the child.
We were considering getting a dog and spending a significant amount of money on getting a dog before we had a Leo.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad that we did not spend that money on that dog because, oh boy.
Yeah.
It would have been a nightmare to have a baby and a dog in a one-bedroom apartment. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Just obscene. But yes, there is definitely a line in the sand in our apartment of the people who have dogs and the people who have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You could just kind of feel the tension.
Really? Is there a war? It's because they put the dog park and the playground so close to each other. It's like putting the woke liberal university next to the based MAGA motorcycle rally. You know what I mean? It's just asking for trouble.
Well, it's the main issue. My main issue is that they're constantly updating the dog park and the playground is falling apart. Like that's my main issue.
That's like, really funny.
But it's easy to update the dog park because it's just grass and like a platform for the dogs to jump on. You know?
Yeah.
And the other fun thing is that there's a fence for the dog park, but not for the playground.
Yeah,
so it's crazy. Like, I can't just let my son run around. I have to like follow him. And so
can you build a fence?
I don't think I have the permit.
Do you need a permit to build a fence?
Here's my permit. I do what I want.
Yeah.
I could probably ask and say, hey, could we put a fence? Or also maybe a fence that is not easy for a two-year-old to open on the dog park. There's a dog park fence where it's just a latch. And I was like, my toddler figured that out
instantly.
Immediately.
Right. And a relatively intelligent dog could also figure this out. you know.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, a relatively intelligent dog could figure out how to flip a Y latch up.
Tim Allen, once he's been converted into dog mode, could get out of this fence. And that's really what we're trying to prevent here, is all of the former humans that have become dogs to stay in one area, right?
Yes.
You don't
around. You get this tension on the internet between dog people and kid people. It's almost, the fight used to be cat people, dog people. Now the cat people have kind of checked out. They're doing their own thing. They're still sheltering in place from 2020. That's what the cat people are doing. they're still masked up. They're not going outside. Now it's dog people versus kid people. And you hear like people about like, oh, your kid is running up and touching my dog. Like, my dog is dangerous. Hey, kill the dog. I don't know what to tell you. If your dog is so dangerous that it kills, that it would attack a human being, kill it. This is what the book Old Yeller was about. The lesson of Old Yeller was not that killing the dog was sad. The lesson of Old Yeller was that you should kill the dog immediately. Yes. I don't know why we didn't kill our dog. My parents' dog.
We talked about this on the bonus podcast. I went into Old Yeller on the bonus show, and had a few choice words, but we won't repeat ourselves here. Anyway, so the other news about the neighbor guy is that he's on the town council now. He was appointed because the mayor died. Tell me about what you think about this. The mayor of my town died, and his son gets to be the mayor now, and I feel like that doesn't track.
That is awesome. But also,
it's kind of cool in like a wow based type of way.
Yeah.
You know?
hereditary mayorship.
But it's also like, man, I wish I could have voted for that.
Yeah, right. You know? Is it like he's finishing out his dad's term because he was the lieutenant mayor, deputy mayor?
Probably is something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
also I'm 90% sure that someone should have seen that coming. Like, I'm assuming the mayor didn't die suddenly. I'm assuming
He had been the mayor since like 1983.
So, 40 mayor, not a 10 term mayor has his son as his deputy. It's like, well, I can see where this is going.
Right. But now my neighbor's he's been appointed and he gets sworn in on Tuesday, and I'm thinking about going. So that when I tell him, like, hey, buddy, we need a park ASAP, that he actually listens to me. He seems like a nice guy. You know, he's got kids. So I think they're sympathetic to the need for a park. But we got to have one.
Across the street from the chicken shack.
Yeah. I also learned that sales tax is the only way that our municipality generates revenue, which does mean that the chicken shack is the only thing making money for this town.
Really?
It's the chicken shack, the gas station, and the Subway are the three revenue generators for my town. And so, because there's no property tax. Property tax goes to the county in Oklahoma.
Mm.
So even though there's all this new building, all these new houses getting bought, with the city doesn't see any of that money, which is crazy.
Well, I'm sure it comes back to the city in terms of grants from the county.
Potentially, but
taxes work.
But you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Misallocations of funds are not uncommon.
I wonder if we should become a state and local government podcast. Like, we should talk about the different ways that municipalities are run and then encourage all of our listeners to become councilmen and women.
We could do that.
Yeah.
You could do that on your own.
I don't want to do that on my own. I think it'd be too boring.
I think it would be as well. I think, here's what I think. I think you and me should become political influencers online.
Yes.
I think that we should use, so in the same way that people start a podcast to like funnel people into their business, we should do, so like Donald Trump did this, right? He did a reality show and then he leveraged his fame into the presidency, right?
Yes.
We could do this on a smaller scale where we have some type of podcast and then we leverage it into real tangible votes, physical and political power that we can then convert into sort of like a police state fascist kind of thing that you and
some
me
kind of, yeah,
are in control of. It wouldn't have to be exactly like that, but something pretty close. What do you think?
I think that would be perfect. See, some people are afraid of a podcast turning into a cult, but I say this. I say it can't turn into a cult because a cult has to be centered around a charismatic leader, around one charismatic leader. Yeah. And we have two, so we're good.
So it's not a cult. It's
not. It's not a cult.
Yeah, it's what we have is
more like it's more like a part. It's more of like a instead of a triumvirate, it's a biumvirate, where in order to join, you have to be bisexual.
Yeah, I was about to say, excuse me, sir, I'm straight.
Oh man.
So that's what's been going on with me. You know,
yeah,
that's,
you're taking over the local government.
Taking over the local government. Yeah, kid's sick.
I have decided, and this is a sweeping declaration that I'm making on the podcast. I've already begun doing this. A while ago, I decided that I was going to swear off fried foods semi-permanently, like indefinitely fried foods gone.
No.
And that's been about 2 weeks of that, and it's been fine. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's actually not that hard to not eat fried foods.
How often were you eating fried food?
I don't know if it was often, but it's like, it's the same. It's like, you don't track it. You don't pay attention. Sure. When I was in college, I stopped drinking soda and I dropped weight like that.
Nice.
And I wasn't drinking soda for every meal. Mm-hmm. Right. But I do notice that the guys who have the bellies, they're the ones drinking you know, soda. Mountain Dew at noon. Like, I need a pick me up, you know, and they get a Dr. Pepper.
I've been doing this soda pick me up. I feel
soda
ashamed.
Soda pick me up is
it's
awful.
A lie. It's like so it seems bad for you. It seems so good. It's 2 o'clock.
It spikes your blood sugar, and then
I know it feels and it feels so good when it first hits. You're like, dang! But then you're just like back where you were 20 minutes later, and it just it sucks because there's this at the co-working space I work at. There's a fridge, and there's this soda that's been in there for like 6 months. And so, like, I know it doesn't belong to anybody. So every once in a while, I'll just pop a little Dr. Pepper. You know, not a big deal. You know, nobody's missing this. Yeah. And and then Emma, she really needed some caffeine, but she can't have the coffee because it makes her nauseous. And so we had a little pack of Coke. So I just grab a little. When I work from home, I just grab a little Coke in the afternoon. And I think I've got a problem. I think I need help. I need your resolve.
Before the debate. Gabe's like assistant was making fun of him because he was like, yeah, Gabe drinks the mini Pepsis for portion control and then has 5 of them. And I was like, yeah, man, that's I get funny. That. I understand. But I was like, all right, I'm swearing off fried
food. Fried food.
Because now what I just like, I don't drink soda. And like now my habit is to not get a soda. And then if I want one, I'll get like a little splash of like Baja Blast at Taco Bell, you know? And like, that's a little treat. And so like, what if I want my consumption of fried food to be like that too. And so I swore on fried food for a couple weeks, but I also decided I did put a limit on this because this is a hard one, but April 7th, I had my birthday party. April 8th is my birthday. April 7th, I had my birthday pie and there was desserts and stuff. But from April 8th of this year until April 8th of next year, I will not be consuming refined sugar. Eclipse to eclipse. I will not be eating refined sugar, desserts, whatever.
Refined sugar.
Refined sugar is in a lot. And so
I
don't know.
Refined sugar, is it a peptide?
I don't know what that means.
I've been seeing
a lot of peptides. But I'm not going to be eating sugary things. I don't know how strict.
So you can eat natural sugar. So you can have like honey, maple syrup, you know, all that type of thing.
But it has to be maple syrup. It can't be like high fructose corn syrupy things, you know. The obvious issue with this is that there's high fructose corn syrup in everything. And so I'm not trying to do the whole 30 thing where I don't consume any of it because that's just impossible.
Right.
But we already consume enough added sugar as it is, and so I'm just going to not eat dessert things for a year and see what happens.
You're just not going to no cookies, no cakes, no anything? Cookies, no cakes. What if they're homemade by my wife and she makes them for you? Specifically,
I will find a way to politely not eat them.
I'll eat them.
Okay, I'll give them to you.
Just if anybody wants to make desserts for the podcast, PO Box 356, Arcadia, Oklahoma 73007.
The way I see it is like there's so many special occasions, you know, and like I'm gonna have this little treat for the special occasion. Eventually the special occasions are like every day, you know. And so it's like, because like I'd like come to my parents' house. My dad's got a bunch of candy, so like pop a little bit of candy. There's no tracking that, you know?
Right.
And I'm not like gaining weight. However, I am maintaining my weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like if I stop these things, and also fried food was the big one, because I was like, mm-hmm. I need to give this up, because I was looking at the Cracker Barrel menu and it was like the fried, which I love Cracker Barrel, as you guys might know, the fried chicken tenders versus the grilled chicken tenders. It's like 200 calories for the grilled chicken tenders and 800 calories for the fried. It's like just putting them in oil quadruples the amount of calories in it for basically the same meal. You're going to eat the same amount of chicken.
Right.
It's ridiculous. So
yeah,
that's what we're doing. We're going to see how that goes.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where this takes you, because if you do that and you combine it with like a little exercise, a little weightlifting, a little cardio, you could be jacked, maybe. You could just be like a big strong guy.
I'm more concerned about dropping the fat than I am about building muscle.
That's fair, but I think you can do. I think you can drop fat. I think you'll be all right. I'm excited for you, and I'm glad that you're doing this without saying that everybody should also do it.
Yeah, I don't think everybody should also do it, because I think that it's more of like a personal thing. It's more of like I have consumed more than I needed to, and so I should for a period of time consume less than I want to.
There is a Catholic Instagram influencer that drives me up the damn wall.
Oh yeah.
Because he's like a fitness guy. You probably know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. I love that guy.
I absolutely despise this guy's content. It makes
me be friends with him.
I think we would get along great in real life. Let me just say this.
Yeah. Yeah.
but the way that he talks about, like, he says things like Catholic men need to have big shoulders, or Catholic men shouldn't have love handles, or whatever. And then he just goes on to give like generic fitness advice. It just is like something about it just really rubs me the wrong way, you know? Cause like, obviously, everybody's in a different scenario, you know? And it feels weird to me to like put arbitrary barriers up of like, this is what a Catholic man is and this is what a Catholic man is not, you know? Even though like I agree with the sentiment, like I do think men should be healthy and should be strong and should be fit. And like, I'm trying to live that way, but I don't know. Maybe I'm like, maybe it just bothers me.
I just want to wear my pants where they're supposed to go.
Yes.
You know?
Maybe it bothers me because he's like saying things in a way that like is just not how I would say them, or he's just like stronger than me and that bothers me, or like I don't know what it is, but there's like something about it that just really, maybe I do the same thing. Maybe I feel like on this podcast I make declarations about how things should be, and you know, I need to watch.
I think you definitely
back,
I think everybody does that. Yeah. I think he's being purposefully provocative. His big one that got I might want to talk about this on the dating course.
Yeah.
It's funny, but he was like,
yeah, it'd be funny.
If someone knows that you're Catholic in the first 5 minutes of meeting you, you need to have a hobby. You need to get a hobby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that he's absolutely right. Everyone got mad at him.
Yeah.
Like, they should know that we're Christian. Right. I'm like, no. Yeah. He's totally right. It's like, you guys, some of you talk only about this, and people that aren't Catholic are not interested. Some of you only want to talk about beeswax candles and the 3 days of darkness. That's all you want to talk about.
Like when I talked to Loafers guy, town councilman, Coyote Man, we didn't talk once about, I don't think they know that like we know our neighbors from something, you know, like vaguely. And like, they know that we're all having lots of kids, but I don't think that they like,
they probably think you're
until they come into our house. Yeah. And they see like the crucifixes and the icons everywhere. I don't think they're going to know. And I think that's fine. Like, I'm okay with my neighbors going at several months, building up a relationship with us before the bomb is dropped that like we probably hold true and dear everything that they despise. And I'm excited for that day to come, because it's an opportunity for conversation. But he's right. But the way that he said it, I think, made just a lot of people really upset, because they instantly were like, because it's attacking the identity. Like, people, Catholicism is so important to people. And when you say like, you shouldn't talk about the thing that's most important to you in your whole life, of course people are going to get upset. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
This episode of The Crunch is sponsored by Briefcase Marketing. If you work or know people who work or are a Catholic parish, you need to listen to this. Hold on. I used to work at a church. You guys know this. Yeah. And website design is very important to me because it can be the difference between getting no phone calls from confused parents or 1,000 phone calls from confused parents about when your events are or where forms are located. You know,
it's dangerous. I've never worked in a parish, but I have used many, 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 many parish websites where I've spent, it's like with a machete in the African jungle trying to find the mass times. And I think we've all had that experience.
Yeah. And they're
they're not updated and they're wrong. And you show up and the church is empty and you miss mass for that day. And you call your dad and you're like, what do I do? And he says, I don't know. This is your fault. And it's just a mess. And you get yourself in a big old mess. And what Briefcase Marketing does, they make sure that mess doesn't happen. You know, nobody has to go through that. Yes.
The Catholic Church, as you know, Ethan, needs beauty in all of its areas, in the physical world, but also in the digital world as well. And they focus on beauty.
That's why I post pictures of myself online every day.
And that's why I consume those photos. Indeed. I make sure to consume them every time. But, you know, it's hard to know exactly what a good website looks like, especially if you're not a pro. There's a je ne sais quoi about website design. You know what I mean? Yes. Where like something that Deacon Steve, I know many Deacon Steves, wonderful people, but something that Deacon Steve thinks looks great is actually super hard to navigate and is obscene. But see Dan over at Briefcase Marketing, he knows what looks good and is easily usable by old people and toddlers alike.
Yes. Yes. And the nice thing is he's got experience. This is not just like a startup guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He's worked with small Catholic parishes all the way up to $250 million companies. So this is a guy who has a ton of experience and knows what he's doing. He's going to be very professional. He's going to set up your website. He's going to help you walk through it. He's going to maintain the website for you, do everything that needs to be done so that the people that just want to know when Mass is and just want to know where the fish fry is located on the parish grounds can find that information quickly and easily.
I want to give you an example of something that he did for a parish in Ohio that he can do for your parish. So if you want this at your parish, just, you know, I'll give you a call to action at the end. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase actually to sign your parish up. But St. John Cantius had this old website that was just awful. It needed an update. It was one of the most beautiful churches in its area, but no one knew that because the digital footprint of the parish was ugly. And so Dan came in and he provided a professional photographer to capture the church. The photos were used across all marketing material, including the website. He designed CTA buttons to get people to sign up for events all throughout the website, so people that are thinking about joining the parish could join and actually become a part of the community. And since that launch, they've received nothing but positive feedback from website visitors. They had an easier time navigating it. There were more people were able to show up to parish events, and they were able to quickly send updates without those spammy pop-ups you see sometimes on websites. So if your parish is having that problem, that's the problem that Dan can solve. So go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, fill out a quick form, and Dan will get in touch with you, see how he can help you. It might be a big project, small project, whatever you need. Email Dan. Well, not email, sorry. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Professional podcaster, this guy right here.
Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, Briefcase Marketing. Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
And that's the trick. That's the thing that I learned. And I think we need to learn this. It's like your hot takes. You remember back in the day, the unpopular opinion bear meme, the advice animals, unpopular opinion bear.
Yes.
And it was things like, I think workers should be paid a fair wage, you know? And people are like, oh my gosh, that's such an unpopular opinion.
Crazy. No way.
And I was like, no, it's a super popular opinion. What the hell are you talking about?
Everyone thinks that. No one has ever wanted to not make more money ever.
I know. But people think that it's unpopular because people think that they say that and mean other people, but people say that and they mean themselves.
Yes.
And I'm like, I think workers should be paid more. I mean me, and I want to be paid more money.
Yes.
But regardless, I think
all women are beautiful. Unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion. It's got to be an opinion. It's got to be opinion. An opinion that enough people will disagree with that they'll comment on your post. But it can't be an unpopular opinion that most of the people who see it won't like it. And that's the trick. And that's what I was trying to explain to Phoebe, because she was like, "You're being too controversial. You're making too many people mad." I was like, "No. 50 people are pissed off on this post in the comments, but 700 people have liked it and moved on.
That's perfect ratio.
That's what you want." Yeah. And so I think that this gentleman and you have a lot in common, and that in your content creation career, his beginning, your rebirth in content creation, you guys need to learn this lesson of, like, you guys need to make more friends and fewer enemies.
I'm trying.
I know you are.
I feel like I'm potentially top five, could hang with everybody of all time. Catholic world. Like, I don't think there's anybody I could be friends with. Freaking what's his name?
Taylor Marshall.
Nick Fuentes? Taylor Marshall? Yeah, someone over there. I could be friends with Father James Martin. I feel like I could find things to talk about with both ends of the spectrum. But I feel like everybody hates me. So it's like, how do I prove that I can hang? And maybe it's just because I'm not jacked is the problem. Like, maybe if I just had huge biceps, people would listen to me like this guy.
I don't think that's what it is.
Are you sure?
It's a branding thing. Brand is a product of association over time. And too many times you've been associated with things that people don't like.
Yeah.
Too many times. And so you need to be associated with things that people do like. So you gotta be pally with KPMG, all right?
I am.
Which you are in public, but you gotta do that on Twitter where it matters.
Yeah, that's so funny. This is also, funny enough, this is Pope Francis's problem.
It is.
Because the Dignitas Infinitum.
About kissing people.
Right. Which is not wrong. I mean, I'd write a book about kissing people if it was a book about my wife. But, I think he does have a brand. I think if we just were able to do a brand consultation with the Vatican, we'd be able to put him on the right path, because he released the Infinite Dignity document, and it's all good, right? It's all about how people have infinite dignity, but they can't do things that betray that infinite dignity. And everyone's like, the response to it has been muted compared to some other documents, because there's been such a reputation over time of Pope Francis releasing things that are maybe a little bit more on the line, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's funny to think that it's me and PF have a lot of the same problems, I think.
Yeah, I think you guys have a lot in common. You guys would have a lot to talk about in Italian.
I think we would. I think we'd get along. I think I could say, you know, buongiorno. I would go up to the Pope, I'd be like, salam alaikum, and then I would dap him up.
The other day I walk into my Muslim clients, it's Ramadan, it was Ramadan back then. Nice. I walk into my Muslim client's office with a bar of chocolate, and I'm like, Ramadan Mubarak. I'm like, can you eat this?
That's so funny.
Said that wrong.
I picked up a dresser from a Muslim family not too long ago for our bedroom, because we've lived in this house for almost a year, and we still have drastically a little amount of furniture in our rooms. And I went to go buy him. I found it on Facebook Marketplace. And so I went to go buy it, and I went into their home, and it was an interesting experience, because most homes I go into are Christian homes or secular homes. I have very rarely been in a Muslim home. Yeah. And that was an interesting experience, because there were the Ramadan flags were all over the place. Like, the art was totally different. It was like it was interesting. I was like, wow, it smelled different, because they had like different candles that they were burning specifically for Ramadan. And so I was just like, man, this is a cool, this is maybe total white boy hours, but I feel like growing up, I didn't have any Muslim friends. Went, like, this was a totally, I was like thinking about it. I was like, it's crazy. This is the first time ever in my life that I've been to someone's house who's Muslim, which is not because I wouldn't. Yeah. It's just because I've never met any. And then we talked about my Suzuki, you know, for 20 minutes, because they used to have the exact same Suzuki as me. So we were palling it up about the Suzuki XL7, 2003, What a great car. Huge. I know.
All downhill from there. Yeah. It's same walking into this Vela's office, because he's got like you know, Muslim stuff on his wall where we might have like a picture of Jesus. And it's funny. It's an interesting experience. Mm-hmm. And it is because the Christian presence is so overwhelmingly the majority in America. It's very mm-hmm. rare that you even like we try in like polite society, we try to be like, oh yeah, world religions like Muslims and Hindus and Christians and Jews. And it's like mm-hmm. three of those four that you mentioned together yeah. make up yeah. like 5% of the population.
Right.
It's like very, very rare that mm-hmm. you meet someone. It's like there's evangelicals, Catholics, non-affiliated, and that's basically it.
That's most people in America.
That's most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quite literally, that's 80% of the population.
And if you leave like large population centers like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, then you don't really see it at all. You know, most of that 5% is concentrated in like a few places.
Dearborn, Michigan.
Is that what's in Dearborn, Michigan?
Dearborn, Michigan is the Mecca of the West.
Is that
it's
true?
The St. Louis of Islam. Yeah.
Really?
St.
Louis of Islam is so funny.
Thanks.
they have an arch, but it's black, and they kind of they do that thing.
It's they instead of the Augustine Institute moving there, it's the Averroes Institute is in.
I don't know what that means.
Averroes is basically the Muslim Thomas Aquinas.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting. Did he is he the one that came up with numbers, or was that a different guy?
Are you thinking of Avogadro and his number?
No, that's the guy that came up with espresso and ice cream.
Yeah. Avogadro. No, Averroes was the Muslim Thomas Aquinas. Okay. He was the Aristotelian. He was like, he liked Aristotle, but he was a Muslim. Okay. And Thomas Aquinas was like, Aristotle was a Christian. Averroes was like, nope, Aristotle was a Muslim. But anyway, yes, Dearborn, Michigan is a very high percentage of Muslims in America live in Dearborn, Michigan.
Should we go?
I don't think so.
Do a podcast there on the street? Change my mind. Averroes was wrong about Aristotle.
I don't think they would know what you were talking about.
Rats. That's frustrating.
Dang it. Did you know the Augustine Institute is moving to St. Louis?
Is that true? I didn't know that,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, that wasn't a joke.
Rent is too high in Denver, I suppose.
I guess.
Interesting. St. Louis. St. Louis is an interesting place. It's kind of a...
It is.
It's like two things that I love. It's like kind of a chess epicenter, and it's also becoming a Catholicism epicenter, which is very... Like they have a ton of great Catholic high schools there, and the big basilica and everything, and now the Augustine Institute. They have a seminary there, and they have a giant chess piece there that I took a picture in front of. Yes.
Oh, it is kind of stinky though.
What, St. Louis?
Yeah, it kind of smells bad.
No more stinky than anywhere else.
That's fair. We gotta de-stinkify our American cities.
How?
Pressure wash.
Great. Wow, Mr. President, your ideas are so good.
this is why Florida doesn't smell, because it gets pressure washed every 4 years or so. Is the hurricanes come and it just washes Jacksonville and all the gunk goes into the river and you're good.
You can't say that about those people that live in Jacksonville that get lost in the river. That's so unkind of you.
No, it's okay. I specifically picked a white majority city in Florida.
nice.
You're welcome.
I can't imagine that a hurricane actually makes things smell better.
No, it does not.
Because what's the worst smelling section of the supermarket? Fish. So, like, you're That's telling fair. Me that the hurricane from the ocean where the fish live is not is not just a giant stink swirl traveling over the East Coast?
No, man. After a hurricane, smells amazing.
Yeah.
Every year, something circulates. It's a picture of... The hurricane washed a shark into the streets, and it's like a Photoshop picture of a shark in the street. And I love it. And every year I love spreading misinformation.
Yes.
But one day I want to see that. I want to see a fish. Sometimes you do see fish swimming through streets, which is fun. Sometimes you skimboard in on the sidewalk, like my brother Nick Nevy.
Mm-hmm. We do that when it floods here. One time in Manhattan it flooded. Like, and all the sewage backed up, and they had their canoes in the streets, and they were just going Manhattan, Kansas.
Through sewage?
No, not sewage. The sewer backed up.
With what?
Water.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like so much water came down from the rain that it filled up the sewage system, and the sewage system was like, all right, I'm done. And then the water kept coming, and it just...
I see.
And it was great. And tests got canceled, and but I was in an exam while it was happening. So, like, my test got finished, but, like, tests that started after a certain period got canceled.
Got canceled.
So I didn't really get to play.
It does very rarely flood in Florida, which is good because it rains a lot. But it actually flooded more in Pittsburgh and Newcastle when I lived there because when it rained really hard, the streets just weren't built for that.
No, Pittsburgh is built different.
It is. Poorly.
And anyway, well, that's about all I've got for the show
today. Yeah, I don't really have much. Yeah, I know we said we're going to talk about a topic, but I don't think we really did. We just kind of messed around. Did you see that? Did you see that that tweet? We can talk about this at the end because our podcast was basically this. It was like, podcasters, get to the point. And I've definitely said that about some podcasts where it's like an informational podcast. But I disagree with that sentiment. I think that I like when Katie and John banter on the Is This for Kids podcast, you know?
Yeah, I don't think shows should be boring. And I think if you're an information podcast, that means get to the information. If you're a comedy podcast, don't worry about it. You know, just kind of do what you want to do. And not every episode of a podcast is going to be a hitter, by the way. That's the other thing that people...
That's what you get.
People expect every... Just because, like, it's I think people have higher expectations of on-demand content, right?
You think so?
Yeah. So, like, when you're watching TV and you're watching an episode of Bones on the USA Network, you're not like, oh, this is going to be great, you know? Even though it's, like, on TV and it probably took millions of dollars to, like, make that thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's no... But if you go to a Netflix show and you click it and you watch it and it's the same quality as Bones, then you're like, this wasn't very good. You know, because it's on demand. And so I think people have that problem is because they went out of their way to click on our show. If it's not the quality they expect, then they're like, ah, this isn't any good. Because it's the...
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's the medium, you know. So we just need... What we need is to get our show on radio, and then we won't have to be good at all.
I will say that people do... the banter podcasts do make more people think they can do podcasts.
True. True.
That I do. I used to think that we were very average podcasters.
We are.
But then I listened to other podcasts and I go, it's very... I listen to our old podcasts and I go, wow, we've improved a lot. Who am I to judge current people based on how we are at where we're at now? It's like, go back to our old episodes and it's, oh boy. I was talking to our good friend Arlene Spensley.
Really?
Who was on the was on the podcast like 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Yeah, what's she up to? And I haven't spoken with her since that episode, I don't think.
She's married, which is cool.
Yep.
Got married recently. And cool. I was talking to her about having her back on to like re-interview, because like we interviewed her before we really knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
So it's not fair to our old guests.
I know. We should have back on all of our guests that we had in like 2017 and just like...
That'd be fun. Go through the gauntlet of like, here's all the people. And then we can finally figure out, did we have more men or women on? Who knows?
Who knows?
I think we've been pretty split down the middle in terms of men and women guests.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, it would be interesting. I'm imagining like talking to Mark Hart again. Will we have the guy from the Grey Havens on again?
I'd have him on again.
Dog.
They're still the good.
Blimey Cow guy. We'd have to Blimey pretend Cow that we guy. Were a different podcast to get the Blimey Cow guy back on.
Yeah, I think we'd have to... I don't think he remembers. You think people remember shows they were on that didn't matter when they were on them?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Probably not. I do think it's fun.
I'll DM him on Insta. Actually, no, that would probably work because we have rebranded our entire show and I could reach out to him via Instagram instead of Twitter.
He would have no clue.
He won't see the previous conversations.
Yes. I think that you and me have a lot going on. And I think the fact that we're still doing this podcast every week is a
miracle.
it truly is. I'm not trying to do some catching foxes type beat where I like allude to things like that no one will ever know about that are like super difficult and complicated. Patrick and I are just both really busy, and like we're trying to like lead our families and trying to build up businesses, and it's really hard.
There's a reason why people tend to not do multiple businesses at once.
Well, there's also a reason that people stop uploading podcasts too. Yeah. Is because they it gets too busy and it's a lower priority. So I'm going to try to read more books, I guess, to come up with better. It sucks that like the only time I have to read, though, I have to spend looking for podcast topics in like novels. And
no, just read what interests you and then the podcast will flow.
I'm going to watch Dune 2 over and over and over again. And that's just going to be my, the only thing.
You really like Dune 2, huh?
It's so good. Now that it's released on digital, people are uploading clips of it on YouTube and stuff. And I'm just watching the clips. I'm like, oh, I remember when I saw
this. Oh, I remember when I saw this. It was so good.
Yes. But yeah, it truly is a miracle. And there's, I would love to talk. It's a little premature to talk about all the things that we've got going on at the moment. If you're on the bonus show, you can hear more about it. But just a weird time in life.
If you want to be one of the first people to hear about it, go to thecrunchcast.com/toolkit and you can download our free Convince Your Friends toolkit. It is free. You can pay for it if you want, but that's if you want. And it is free. And over 1,000 people have downloaded it, given us great reviews. Yeah, please go download it. You'll enjoy it. And then you'll get added to a list of people who will get notified first when we release something related to the toolkit. Something Whoa. Bigger than the toolkit.
Something bigger than life itself.
Yes. Life too.
If you like this podcast, join our Discord. bit.ly/crunchdiscord is the place where you can talk to other people who like our show. And you can ask questions if you have a dating question.
The Discord is great. Show. It's taken on a life of its own, and I love it.
It has. It has. Yeah.
There's conversations that I don't have to watch.
I know. It's great. I've been saying during Lent it kind of like dipped, but now like people are back and it's been mm-hmm. it's been kind of fun. So bit.ly/crunchdiscord, join the Discord. And we'll see you on our Wednesday podcast where we do dating advice, which we're about to record right now. I'm very excited.
Oh yeah, baby.
Oh, I'm so excited. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Tune in next week where Ethan and I start our own town and we are both the mayor.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we'll see you all next time.